Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators, a podcast for translators by translators, bringing you simple strategies to build better habits. In each episode, we'll focus on specific habits for translators in various stages of their careers. If you're a translator who enjoys learning about habits to improve your business and lifestyle, then this is the podcast for you. We're your hosts, Madalena Sanchez-Zampalo
and Veronica De Michelis. Like you, we are professional freelance translators trying to balance the challenges that come with building a career and maintaining clarity and boundaries between work and personal life. We hope you'll join us in this conversation about smart habits and discover some simple strategies you can apply today to help you build your career and achieve the lifestyle you desire. Welcome to Smart Habits for Translators. This is episode 31. Before we start, we'd like to share a lovely review from a listener and colleague, Roberta Papaleo, an Arabic, English, Spanish, and French to Italian translator and editor based in Italy. She said, "During lockdown, I discovered the Smart Habits for Translators podcast, and I have to say it was crucial for me. It completely changed my perspective on things. So thank you very much." Thank you, Roberta, for listening and for letting us know that the podcast was helpful during these unusual and stressful times.
Yes, thanks, Roberta. It was really nice to hear from you with this message. We know that it's been a particularly hard year, especially in Italy. At the beginning of the pandemic was a really difficult time. And now, again, a lot of Europe is in lockdown. We hope we can keep you company during the end of the year here as well. So now back to today's episode. We'd like to share a conversation about something that's worked well for us, in case it's also helpful to you, our colleagues and listeners, and that is smart habits for marketing in unexpected ways. And stay tuned through the end of this episode because we're going to be sharing a new project that we're working on that's related to the episode that you can also take part in. We all know that marketing is necessary to run any business well, and sometimes marketing can feel tedious or overwhelming, but it doesn't have to be that way. You know, we don't talk a lot on this podcast about the business and marketing aspect of our profession specifically, but you can very much create some good habits around marketing your business that will leave you feeling more in control of the future of your business and with more work-life clarity. So let's jump in. Personally, I think that marketing in general and why I've come to really enjoy it is because I make it sort of a doable task and I don't follow any of the salesy type of tactics that people tend to share. Like I listen to a lot of podcasts, for example, some of them on marketing. And there are times when I'm like, oh, that's a great, you know, marketing strategy. I might try to use that or like tweak it a little bit to fit my clients. And other times I find that even if something is effective in many markets or in a certain industry, it may not be fitting for my clients. And so anytime you hear any kind of marketing strategies that somebody shares, you do have to think about like what would be appropriate for your clients, but also what would be doable. And so for me, if it's something that I don't find is going to be doable, then I know I'm not going to make any progress with it. And so it needs to be something that feels manageable. And then I guess some mistakes that maybe I've made in the past when it comes to marketing is just, and maybe this was just early on, because I certainly don't feel this way now, but it, you know, one of them would be thinking that results are automatic, because they're certainly not. Any kind of marketing strategy is what I like to call a long-term game. It's very unusual to have a marketing strategy that gives you results overnight. Those types of things are extremely rare. And so you have to think about marketing as an experiment. Anything that you do or you want to tweak, it's sort of like tweaking a variable to see how something works or doesn't work, what kind of feedback you might get. And you have to give it some time to actually work. So that has been helpful to remember, especially for, you know, the different types of marketing. Like if you decide you're going to write a blog or something, you can't write one and assume everybody's going to come and read it. It really does take time to establish a lot of these things and establish the habits that go with them. What about you, Veronica?
There's a lot I learned since I started freelancing, and I found marketing difficult when I first began freelancing because I have never had to sell my services before. And I have background in marketing, but for years I was promoting someone else. I was promoting the company, not myself. Mm-hmm. So I found it really hard putting myself out there and like representing my own brand, my own company. So that just felt very unnatural and weird in the beginning. And some mistakes that I have made along the way that I learned from, and I don't do these things anymore, is like at the beginning I would send cold emails or cold paper letters with my business cards to companies without really researching them very much and without following up. Mm-hmm. And I realized that that doesn't work at all. And it was just a waste of time on my part and it was just really discouraging, but it was my fault. So I started doing more research about potential clients and started like identifying real opportunities, finding a hook that I can use, or really identifying the right moment to approach them and the right thing to share with them, and not really approaching them from a standpoint, I am selling my services and I think you need them, but more of a, I noticed this and here's how I think I can help you, or here's a useful resource that you might find helpful. And I always follow up at least once, and I found it useful to follow up in a different way than the original message. So if I sent an email first, I would follow up with a LinkedIn connection request and a message. Something else that I learned from is like creating every message from scratch. I realized it's very time and energy consuming. There's a lot of room for self-doubt and procrastination. And after I created a few templates that can be easily customized, I never looked back because it really makes it easy to make marketing a habit because you know you have the templates and you know all it takes is really just after you've done the research, all it takes is to just customize it to the particular client and you don't have to overthink the process very much. And finally, not talking to colleagues is, I think, a mistake I made early on when I started. And I see a lot of people make this mistake when they start, is feeling that, people will not tell me who they work for, or I shouldn't be asking what clients people work for and how they like them. But I feel that even though we don't have, we don't discuss specific rates, and in some cases, people cannot share or don't want to share the names of clients they work for, I think it's still helpful to know about people's good and bad experiences, either with a particular client or in a particular sector or just in general, if they are willing to share that. But I think it has to go both ways. And that's where collegiality and trust are important. Like you wouldn't go around sharing information about a specific client on, say, LinkedIn or in your blog and sharing how you like working for them or if you don't. And if someone shares that information with you, like in a safe space, in a private setting, you shouldn't be sharing it with anybody else, and just take it as something that's confidential and shared in trust. But I do think these conversations with colleagues are important because we go from treating each other as competitors and protecting our own sort of personal space and business space to how can we support each other and help each other on this journey that is not easy at all. So let's talk about some places and opportunities where you might have a chance to talk about your services and do marketing in a natural and subtle way. And one such example is in-person events and informal meetings, which of course we don't do a lot of right now, but I still think this is something you shouldn't overlook, even if these things happen online or in much smaller settings than before. Mm-hmm. Those can be, for example, any encounters with other people or meetings that are related to another group that you belong to that are not related to your work at all, like parent-teacher association meetings or any kind of parent groups, sports and hobbies, church groups, community volunteer meetups, anything that goes on in your community that, where you volunteer or meet other people, even your neighbors. Yeah. And even though there isn't a lot going on in person these days compared to pre-COVID times, there are still ways to market your business that are natural when you meet people in person. And the first example that comes to mind is when you meet someone and they ask what you do. Like, what answer do you give them? Do you just say, I'm a translator, or I'm an interpreter? Mm-hmm. Or do you expand on that and give an example? Or my favorite, when people don't even ask you because they automatically assume that I'm a stay-at-home mom because I look this way or because I, you know, I'm not in an office setting during the day or something like this. Mm-hmm. But like personally, a few years ago, I didn't quite know how to handle these situations. And if people asked me, I didn't know if they would even be interested in a detailed answer. But a few chance encounters that brought business to me really changed my mind about this. So one example is I was at a party at a friend's place a few years ago, and I met this gentleman who asked me what I did for a living. And I said, I work as a freelance Russian translator. And big surprise, he knew right away what that meant, which is rare, I think. Yeah. but because I am based in Houston, he thought I work with oil and gas. So I said, no, I don't work with oil and gas projects anymore. I used to. But now as a translator, I help clients translate their websites, marketing materials, and various documents into Russian. So he told me that some of his ancestors came from Russia, and he had some old Russian documents that he couldn't make sense of. And he was like, do you think it's something you would be able to read for me? And so I said, yeah, I guess I could try. And so he took me up on that offer, and he paid for my time. And not only did this result in a very nice client, he had actually quite a few documents that I helped him understand. But he also introduced me to his friends and other groups and communities that do that type of family history research. And I found some more clients that way and some clients that I could refer to my colleagues. So it ended up becoming a business opportunity, you know, coming from a just a chance encounter at a party. So I think it's really important not to overlook these casual conversations with people and mention what you do and be specific, like share examples and mm-hmm. And give people something that they can relate to, because I think it's a human, it's a natural response for people when we meet someone new and we have any conversation. We're trying to find connections between that person's interests and ours. So it's really important to make a good introduction to yourself and what you do, so that, you know, people maybe think of you when something comes to their mind, or someone asks them if they know anyone, they may have a referral for you, or maybe just share some valuable advice about a market niche or something like this.
Yeah. I agree with that. And I think that it's important to just not think of the situations, you know, like you mentioned in regular day-to-day meetings with people as a marketing scheme or something. Yeah. Or you're just, you know, everybody you meet should be somebody you market to. It's definitely not like that, but it should be a natural thing to talk about your business. Mm-hmm. And to assume that people will have some interest, because if you have interest in other people, they certainly have interest in you.
Yeah.
And of course, not everybody is going to talk your ear off about being a translator, but some people are very interested and they do tend to know other people who need your services. So it is important to also think of, you know, chance meetings or people you see regularly in your community. I agree with that. And I've also gotten work that way. So another thing, you mentioned some in-person things, but of course, online events and informal meetings like that are also very good places to market your business and good ways to market. So of course, this year, a lot of things did go online, but just in general, we've always kind of, well, I shouldn't say always, but in the recent years, of course, our work is done very much digitally, virtually, unless you're an interpreter who works on site or something. Most translators I know tend to work remotely from their clients. And so you could meet people in many different ways. And these days, there are a lot of networking events online as well. Mm-hmm. So conferences are a great way to meet potential clients. One thing to think about is that you're usually there to do one of two things, learn or network, or sometimes both. So take the time to market your services by answering a question that relates to your work or expertise, or offering some knowledge that you can maybe tie back into your work. It could be helpful to others and also create a way to market your business. There are good opportunities at non-translation and interpreting association events, like those that maybe also value communication. Like I'm thinking of the International Association of Business Communicators would be a good example. Yeah. Or ACES, the Society for Editing. I've found some very interested editors who are, you know, who do work with translators. So definitely they value already the work that we do. So those are really good ways to find potential clients if you're looking to do that. And things like online forums, social media groups, those are also good venues. And then those that are related to your own special interests. You know, that's something that we shouldn't overlook either. The more you get to know others, similar to what you were just talking about, Veronica, with community groups and things like that, the more natural it is to talk about what you do. And, you know, even if it is online, there are special interest groups, especially on social media, where people get to know one another, and they get to, even if they never meet in person, they get to those conversations about, like, what do you do for a living? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, do you have kids? Or do you, what are your hobbies and things like that? And so it can come up naturally in conversation. And I think it's important not to shy away from talking about yourself a little bit and what you do and sharing, you know, what types of clients you work with and so on, because you just never know who other people are, what they do for a living, or who they know
right. That
they could refer to you to.
Yeah, that's so true. And even if, you know, a conversation that happens online and in that setting isn't super productive for you right away, or, you know, mm-hmm. as you said, it may just be a way to just spread the word, or just to sort of raise awareness. But it can be a way to learn of an opportunity that you could then share with a colleague or a group of colleagues, similar to like when you're at mm-hmm. a conference, and if you're meeting someone in an exhibitor hall. And it happened to me a few years ago at an ATA conference. I met a company rep in the exhibitor hall who asked me what I do, and I said, you know, I explained what I did, and he said, oh, it sounds perfect, I only wish you were translating into Spanish. And that's when I knew that they're looking for into Spanish translators. And so I need to recommend some colleagues to visit their company's booth. And that mm-hmm. works the same way online. I feel like even if you meet someone and they make a similar comment, or like, oh, I wish you knew someone who works with Vietnamese or something, that's a great way to help a colleague and to sort of enhance your relationship with your translator or interpreter community.
Yeah.
And all these online opportunities these days, I feel like they, even though they can be as overwhelming as in person, if not even more, in some cases, I feel like it's still in a way an easier way to attend and be a part of a new community, because if you attended a non-translator or interpreter association event in person, it would be so intimidating to. You know, it could feel that way, that you're the only one and you don't know anyone else, and it's kind of weird to go and introduce yourself to people. But online, those barriers are gone, and we're all in the same boat. We're all, you know, going through this crazy year, and all these different associations, they have happy hours, they have coffee chats, they have one local association I know of, they do lunch and learns, and there are great opportunities to learn something about a potential client or a market and meet other people and talk about your services, but in a very discreet and natural way mm-hmm. without feeling salesy.
Right.
So some of the other places we tend to show up online often, even if it's not necessarily for work, can be really fruitful for our business too. You just have to find how they could work for you and understand that, you don't have to spend all your free time in these places. And I want to mention Facebook groups in particular. And I know there's sort of this controversy about Facebook, and not everyone likes it. I personally don't use it very much, but I would say with Facebook groups in particular, don't dismiss it until you try it, mm-hmm. Because it has been really good for me professionally to be a member in some Facebook groups. And there are a ton of Facebook groups for whatever interest or industry or profession you could think of, you know, they're for various professions, not related to translator interpreter. I know there are a lot of translator interpreter groups on Facebook too, but I'm not talking about those right now. Local creatives, local small businesses, local school community forum, or local expat groups, or, you know, a ton of other ideas for Facebook groups where you could find information about your niche or your potential clients, or find clients. And it doesn't mean that you have to be posting there a lot and be super active. If you use these groups in a smart way and sort of gauge your participation level, they can provide very important information to you about some gaps that you can cover with your services, mm-hmm. Or some gaps in the market for a specific offering. They can be a source of referrals and recommendations. You can find clients there, and clients can even become your ambassadors. If they're really happy with your service, they can recommend you to other people in those groups. That has happened to me, and it's an amazing feeling where, you know, when you don't have to actively go and advertise yourself, which I hate doing, but mm-hmm. other people do that for you.
Yeah, that's for sure. You know, a lot of these groups, I mean, you're mentioning Facebook is, people don't think of potentially finding clients through groups on Facebook, but there are so many groups for different interests mm-hmm. that you really could find them. And it may just seem like, you know, twist of fate that you came across a person who needs your services, but little by little, those people know more people, than it spreads, you know, they spread the word. Mm-hmm. And then also talking about groups, one area where I advertise my services a lot, a bit differently than that would be on LinkedIn. So LinkedIn is interesting, and everybody thinks, oh, LinkedIn, yeah, of course, if you're looking for a job. But for freelancers, there's actually a lot of opportunities on LinkedIn, both in LinkedIn groups and via the inbox feature, which is, I believe, called InMail. So that is something that I have found to be extremely useful in my business. And, you know, I teach about LinkedIn quite a bit, and I'm always a little bit troubled when I hear freelancers say, oh, LinkedIn hasn't ever gotten me anywhere. Or, mm-hmm. You know, I don't understand why LinkedIn, you know, would be helpful to a freelancer. I think that that's really not understanding what all you could do with LinkedIn. For mm-hmm. example, I recently wrote a blog post about how to open up your profile to start getting notifications about freelance jobs.
Yeah.
In fact, I've got one to share with you later, by the way, Veronica, for Russian. Yeah. And I get them every week in my inbox.
That's
and
amazing.
So that's another way to start seeing different companies who are looking for people that offer the services. And so LinkedIn groups, in a sense, can be similar to Facebook groups because you're joining for a specific reason. But because LinkedIn is a platform where it is focused on professionals using it, people are there to do business. That is the purpose mm-hmm. of LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
So they expect to learn about other people's professions and talk to people that they wouldn't normally have within their own network and expand their network. And I can share for quite some time about why I use the inbox feature, like the mail feature, mm-hmm. more than anything else. You won't see me posting a ton about my translation business in the newsfeed. And it's just because my own clients, they do not sit there scrolling the newsfeed.
Right.
If I share something in my newsfeed, it tends to be for colleagues. But when I'm really advertising my business and really, you know, marketing to clients, and I'm saying really, but I don't mean like direct sales tactics, you know, it's because I'm having conversations with potential clients through the inbox. So it is really specific to them. So yeah, I have tons to say about that, of course.
Yeah, I know you, I'm sure you have like so much advice to share on this. And I must admit, I mean, when I had a corporate job, I used LinkedIn, but it was sort of my virtual business card, mm-hmm. you know, I used it to connect with people I've met at conferences or like in business meetings, but I haven't really used it much. And so again, it was a leap for me when I started freelancing, and I realized that as a freelancer, there are so many features on LinkedIn that you can be using.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's maybe part of the problem for many people, is that it's just not obvious right away, or maybe you're not looking for all these features. You don't know they exist.
Yeah. I think it's not that obvious at first.
Yeah. But once you do the work and you set things up and you like, you know what you're looking for, then there's a lot of potential on this platform.
Mm-hmm.
And I really like, again, LinkedIn groups. Some of them can be pretty quiet, not much happening there.
Yeah.
And some can be really busy and like a lot of messages, which can get overwhelming too. But I like using groups for mostly as a source of research about a specific client or a specific industry or like a niche, where I know like if there's a group that my clients seem to like a lot and I see that they hang out there and talk about things, I mostly just stay there just to sort of know more about them and what's on their minds, what are their interests and challenges and such, mm-hmm. and figure out a way, you know, to include that in a conversation with them. Yeah, so some other places that I think we should mention are places where people look for information or advice online, like Google, Yelp, and even Nextdoor. And that was a revelation for me this mm-hmm. This spring and summer. But talking about the first two, first the Google and Yelp, people search for information on the go a lot these days, and they use their cell phones and tablets to look for places and services. And Google and Yelp pages come up pretty high in the search results. So if you have a business page on these platforms, it can help bring clients to you in an organic way just because they searched for, say, translation or interpreting services when they were driving or in a restaurant or whatever, in a business meeting. It just comes up almost, you know, if not first, it's one of the first search results.
Right.
Even if you don't have a website, but especially if you do. And it's also a great way to collect reviews from clients if you have a Google business page. There are, again, lots of bells and whistles there, but you can do as little or as much as you want with it. With your business page on Google or Yelp, you know, you can post photos and updates if you want. You can treat it as a mini blog or repost stuff from your, you know, from LinkedIn or from your blog if you have one. Or you could just, you know, treat it as your virtual storefront. Or you could track how clients find your page, you know, if you have access to the data and see what keywords they're using to find you. And as for Nextdoor, I found it fascinating, but I saw it being used a lot this spring and summer. And I guess it's because people have been trying to help local businesses, local small businesses. They've been eager to support them. So I've even seen some calls to action, like on Nextdoor, where people like, if you're a small business in the area, just post, you know, what services you offer, because we want to know who to support and who to go to if we need something specific. But it can also be used for marketing. You can create a business profile there. You can also reach out to a specific community locally and offer your services. If you offer services to individuals like interpreting or official document translation. But I have even seen small businesses locally looking for people who can do transcription or subtitling. So I wouldn't dismiss that platform either. There are a lot of opportunities there for freelancers.
Yeah, that's definitely true. And I think some of these things where people are searching just kind of on the go, professionals might think, oh, well, those are just the people who aren't willing to pay for my services or something. But I think that's really not necessarily true.
Yeah.
I know that there are a lot of people who are willing to pay who do search that way. And like you said, people are searching now so much from their personal devices and even voice assistants that you really shouldn't dismiss some of these where maybe in the past it seemed that those types of platforms would be, I don't know, for professionals who were just starting out or, you know, looking for clients mm-hmm. who weren't really willing to pay, you know, decent prices. I don't think that that's necessarily always the case anymore. So, yeah, you may have to weed through some of the stuff that you get, but I think it's worth taking a look at.
Mm.
So another area of an unexpected way, I guess, that you could market your services, or at least it's something that I think most people don't think about, is when you leave comments on people's blogs or social media posts. And I'm not talking about just pressing like or retweeting or something like that, you know. You could actually make a comment that shares your expertise without saying, you know, like not in a braggy type of way, right? Mm-hmm. You could add to the conversation. And I think that can be very helpful. And I find that if you are already reading blog posts or social media posts in maybe your area of expertise, your industry that you specialize in or something like that, adding a perspective that may not have been considered by the person mm-hmm. who wrote it or the other people reading it, even better, who might come across your comment might go, oh, wow, this is really something I hadn't thought about before. And I do need a translator, or I have a colleague who does need translation. Mm-hmm. And here's one who commented and apparently, you know, seems to have expertise in this area and has something intelligent to say. So I do think that is worthwhile. And just on the same note about social media, you know, we've talked about Facebook, we've talked about LinkedIn a little bit. But there are also plenty of people these days on other platforms like Instagram and Twitter. Mm. And this really depends on who your clients are, of course. You may not have your direct clients on these particular platforms or in such a way that they are there professionally, let's say. Maybe they're just there personally, like for fun, mm-hmm. and they have their own personal pages. But depending on what kind of area you work in, you may have a lot of clients who are there in a professional capacity, especially if you work in an area like marketing or translating for maybe the fashion industry or cosmetics or something mm-hmm. like that, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So it is possible. And I do know of a few translators and interpreters who are very active on like Twitter, for example, and they have gotten business out of sharing what they do and kind of marking themselves and marketing themselves mm-hmm. as an expert in their areas by what they share, what they comment on. If they retweet something, let's say, they'll add a different kind of like perspective with it, but still an intelligent comment, we'll say, right?
Yes,
so,
yeah.
So that it shows that they know what they're talking about and they are an expert in this area, and also just using hashtags in a smart way.
Right.
You know, there's a lot to say about that too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. I feel like you can really, do yourself a service by really thinking through and leaving some meaningful comments and interacting with clients on these platforms. That really establishes a connection and like gives maybe sometimes even like leads into a different topic or offers a different perspective, like you said. Mm-hmm. I haven't been using Instagram or Twitter that much, as a sort of more indirect marketing, but I've seen colleagues who work in other fields do that with success. Mm-hmm. And I think like if you're If you look at people who may be working with self-published authors or event organizers or like food and beverage or some of the other industries that you mentioned, like, those clients could as well find you on these platforms. So I think it really depends on your niche and what you're working on. I've even seen agencies, like boutique translation agencies on Instagram and Twitter, which mm-hmm. is really interesting. But I guess that's also another client you could monitor and see if there is, if it's something you want to look into or leave a comment on something they post and have a conversation with them. But I wouldn't expect like direct messaging to be a good way on these platforms to be a good way to start any formal conversation unless
yeah.
it was, a specific niche where the client was okay with that or something
right.
like this, like less formal. Another area that we should talk about are informal conversations or just relationships with colleagues or acts of kindness that can promote these types of conversations. For example, if you saw an article or a blog post by a colleague that really resonated with you or you found really interesting or beneficial for your work, why not send that colleague a short email to thank them and share why you enjoyed that article, maybe share some additional information that they might find interesting. I feel like we forget that these small acts of kindness help spread kindness and collegiality in our profession and in our community, but they also show that you have common interests and you have common expertise with somebody. And it's a good start to a conversation. And once you have established these connections, you may feel comfortable referring clients to that colleague, or they may do the same for you. And it's just a good way to expand your network in a meaningful way, not like, oh, I have this person's business card, but yep. we had a conversation or multiple conversations and we connected and I feel like I trust this person. Mm-hmm. That will have a bigger impact.
Yeah. Definitely. So yeah, that's why I was going to share that too. Colleague referrals is something definitely not to overlook. And for many of us, referrals are the number one way we attain new clients. I mean, I always say this at the end of a year, take a look at your clients that you had this year. Easy way to do that would be to go back into your accounting software or system, your invoicing system, whatever you use, and see who you billed this year and say, okay, where did these clients come from? And I will almost put money on the fact that most people yeah. will say that more than 50% come from referrals. It just is what it is, especially with professional services. Now, mine has gotten to be closer to 50-50 online search and referrals, but referrals are definitely a big part of how we all gain new business and new clients. And it should, you know, it is something I, like you said, to kind of also pay it forward and also do the same for others, right?
Hmm.
So consider what you want to be known for. I like to tell people this. Consider what you want to be known for in the sense, not of fame or anything like that, but how you want others to perceive and remember you as it relates to your knowledge in your area of expertise or your language pair. And remember that this is a type of marketing, colleague referrals, that's really about growing your own network of other contacts and referrals. So let's say you want to be known for, I don't know, being a translator who works for NGOs in a certain area like environment and sustainability or something like that, right? And you really want to be known for that so that people know, okay, when I come across a colleague who needs something like this, I'm going to send clients to them. And when I hear people say, I need a translator for X, Y, and Z, if I know somebody who specializes in that, immediately I'm like, I know someone and I will share that person with them.
Yeah.
So you don't have to go into any of these situations thinking like I'm going to be marketing also to my colleagues. Like, it's not like that, right? It's not any kind of direct marketing tactics here.
No.
This is more about mixing in some marketing in areas that you are where you already interact with other people,
mm-hmm.
and being helpful and serving in your own way and sharing what you know well, so that other people can also benefit from your expertise. So it's not something that should feel salesy or like you're pitching yourself to anybody.
Yeah. These should just be natural encounters, natural conversations where you just make an effort to connect with people and be very mm-hmm. clear about what you do and how you can help, but not treat it as a client pitch.
Yeah, definitely. So we hope that this conversation has given you some new ideas on how to market in unexpected ways and unexpected places. The possibilities really are endless. And the more that you make a habit of this, the easier it becomes to talk about your business in all settings. And we'd love to hear if you happen to give any of our tips a try, or if you have some smart habits to share about marketing in unexpected ways. Send us an email at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com or leave a comment on our website under the show notes for this episode.
And now we want to share with you what we've been working on. In addition to this special episode about smart habits for marketing in unexpected ways, we've decided we'd like to show you how we do it ourselves. So you can take some of our smart habits and tips, what's worked for us and how we've gotten results, and implement these into your own business. We'll be sharing all of this in a webinar on Friday, January 22nd. And those who sign up will get a recording to the webinar, as well as a quick reference guide to our tips for marketing in unexpected ways and making a habit of it. You can find the link to the webinar details and registration page in the show notes for this episode at smarthabitsfortranslators.com/podcast-episodes/31. And if you're an email subscriber, you will receive a coupon code for a discount. So watch your email for that. If you're not on our email list yet, be sure to sign up at smarthabitsfortranslators.com.
Yes, so we hope that you all will join us for the webinar the 22nd of January 2021. We're really excited to share how we, you know, take these things that we do and turn them into smart habits for marketing in unexpected ways. And we think that we can share a lot of that by showing it to you as well. And now I think we have time for a special segment, Book Nook, where we share what we're reading or what we've recently read that we'd recommend to our colleagues and listeners. So I just finished a book called Maybe You Should Talk to Someone.
I've heard about it.
And I can't remember the author's name, but we'll put it in the show notes. It is so well written and so good. Mm-hmm. It's written by a psychologist where she kind of shares about her therapy patients. Of course, she's changed everybody's name and she's asked everybody their permission. So nobody's identity is disclosed, but she shares a little bit about their paths and her own in therapy as well, herself. And she just writes so well. She mixes in humor with the reality of people's emotions so in such a beautiful way. It really is one of those fascinating books, but it's also like a page turner. So I really recommend that one.
Oh, I can't wait to read it. It's been on my list for a while. I've heard about it. I'm glad to hear that you liked it.
It's really good, yeah.
So I am really enjoying a book for Yves Bodeau's Global Reads Book Club by Frederick Backman called Anxious People. And I feel like it's been a while that I enjoyed the book so much. It's really easy to read. It's I feel like it's pretty deep, but also fun. And because it talks, you know, the story takes place in Sweden, it just brings me back to those days when I lived in Scandinavia. I lived in Norway, and it just it's really nice. I don't know, it takes me back to those times and those places. I visited some place in Sweden, but just the story is really interesting. It's written in such a cool way where it's just layers and layers of things that you discover as you read the book, and I really, really love it. I can't wait to see what happens next, like with every chapter.
Yeah, I'm reading that one as well right now for the book club. Yeah. So we don't want to give it away if you're a listener and you're in the book club too with us. But I agree, it's really well done. It's a beautiful book.
Yeah, and it's not too late to join the book club. So we'll add the link to Yves Bodeau's Global Reads Book Club in the show notes, and you can join us there to discuss it if you read it too. So that's it for this week's episode. We'll be sending our email subscribers a summary of today's conversation with a link to all the resources that we mentioned today, including information about our new webinar and a coupon code with a discount just for email subscribers. So if you'd like to receive it, please sign up for our emails on our website, smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you would like to be notified when our episodes are released, you can subscribe to our podcast wherever you listen to it.
Yes, and if you like our podcast, there are a couple of simple ways to support us. Please share the podcast with your colleagues and friends and leave us a review on Apple Podcasts. This really only takes a minute, and we've recorded a quick video tutorial to show you how to do it. We'll link to that in the show notes. Stay tuned for our next episode, subscribe to our podcast, and follow us on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook to find out what our next Smart Habits topic will be.
Talk to you soon. We hope you enjoyed this episode and discovered some simple strategies that you can apply today at work or at home to help you achieve the lifestyle you desire. If you did, please let us know. We'd love to hear from you.
If you have a topic you want us to cover, please send us a message at hello@smarthabitsfortranslators.com. If you like this episode, we'd appreciate if you'd leave us a review wherever you listen to podcasts. And please share the podcast with other translators you know.